friend of mine sent me this little clip here on Red Ice TV, the Yule Christmas stream. And this guest that they have on here, his name is Charles Bausman. He's the chief editor of Russia Insider, a Kremlin disinformation alternative media website that is quite influential within the alt media, it seems. I mean, I come across this site before. It just looked like the typical Putinist Kremlin worship garbage, so I didn't really pay attention to it. But it does seem to get a lot of traffic. So this guy Bausman has been on RT quite a bit. He's some kind of I think he's American. I don't know. He's either American or British, and he went over to Russia. He's a Russophile. He probably married a Russian or something and became and fell in love with that culture and society and decided to abandon the West, his own people, right? Let's just listen to this little clip here about censorship.
Robert as well. So there's Charles. Let's just cut right over to him.
The one and the only Russia insider.
Hey,
the Russians made us do it.
Hey, yes. How are you?
Great to see you guys.
Yeah, you too.
Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Happy solstice. I mean, just keep going on and on, right?
Got to be PC, right? Got to have inclusivity.
Well, you've done a lot of really good work this year. Russia Insider is very popular. It's growing. I hear people talking about it all the time. You do some terrific articles. Fill us in on the year gone by. Your thoughts.
Oh, you love it. You love some Russia Insider there, right, Lana? It's funny because I remember Lana... I've been on Red Ice like a couple times, not recently. They put me basically on their little blacklist after I started criticizing some of these Nazbols and Russo cucks in the alt media. Red Ice just instantly blacklisted me, and she claimed that I wasn't blacklisted, but it's so obvious that I was. And she flipped out and sent me like this hysterical message on Facebook because I had posted a video about Nazbols that included like a few clips of her, and she's like, "You'll never be on Red Ice ever again. Look at this, you posted this video." She's acting like I betrayed their friendship or something. These people, I've never even spoken to her before, right? And she was acting like we knew each other or something. Like, it was so weird. But let's play this clip.
Yeah, well, you know, I think this has been a great year. I haven't been able to listen to your previous guest. I don't know if anybody's been saying it's bad, but from where I sit, this has been a fantastic, wonderful year. And, you know, I guess I would say that basically I think it's the forces of goodness and light, which means you and your audience.
How cheesy is that? The forces of goodness and light is you and your audience. Let me just kiss your ass.
Making inexorable progress. I mean, we're just sort of forging ahead on all fronts, and there are temporary setbacks, but the overall, you know, status report of it is that things are going our way. So we've got a lot to be thankful for and happy for this holiday season.
How has censorship been for you guys this year? Any deplatforming for Russia Insider?
No, we have not been touched, and I've wondered about that myself a lot, but for whatever reasons, you know, the bad guys have decided
well,
not
Russia
to tangle
runs the
with
show.
Us.
I mean, come on, obviously.
Yeah, so yeah. You're off limits.
You know, we've got some serious resources in the Kremlin, so yeah.
Oh, this is all just a big laugh fest, right? This is all a big joke. Big resources in the Kremlin. Well, obviously, he's not going to be censored in Russia. His website is nothing but exaltation of Putin and the Kremlin. Like, it is a pure mouthpiece of Russia, so he's not going to have any problems. It's only when you criticize Putin that you run into problems in Russia, of course.
Now, do you
think censorship is worse in Russia than America?
Oh, you should know that, but you know, you're gonna ask this Russophile this question.
That's a good question. They're more open about some things, but they definitely have like a firm hand on certain subjects that they don't encourage people to talk about. But that's on the mainstream media. In the on the internet and whatever the opposition media, it's a wide open. You can talk about just about anything. And they're very, very critical of Putin. His
what? What an absolute lie. He's saying the opposition in Russia can't, you can talk about anything and you can just blast Putin and it's no problem.
You know, the few people who are against him in Russia, maybe I'd say about 20% of the population, are very hard on him, and it's just brutal. So there's quite a lot of freedom of press there in that sense.
If we hear that it's not, though, right? We hear all the time that it's so repressive and that they own all the media and it's all a done deal, but that's just BS then.
Well, they own the mainstream, you know, the big dominant news TV channels. It's sort of like, it's the reverse of what's happening in America, where, you know, you'd say the mainstream media is what, maybe 70, 60% of the media landscape in America. Well, in Russia, it's the good guys have 60 to 70% of the media landscape. So they're...
Oh, the good guys, right. The Kremlin, the Putin regime, the good guys.
Much better shape. You know, and it's interesting. I mean, I guess I should talk about Russia a little bit and how they, contrast to what's happening in America. The Russians and the Chinese are looking at America.
I've heard enough of this crap. The claim that there's less censorship of opposition in Russia is absolutely false, right? Absolutely false. I encourage you, this is my friend here, Timothy Fitzpatrick. He wrote an article about Russia Insider. Russia Insider is a honeypot going into the various tactics that it uses to trick Westerners. Very good source. But let's look at some of the facts here. Russia is ranked 135 out of 180 countries on the corruption index. So it's one of the most corrupt states in the world. You have, of course, broad, vast internet censorship. You have vast political censorship across the board. You have hate speech and extremism laws across the board in Russia. This article says internet censorship in Russia is enforced on the basis of several laws and mechanisms. Since 2012, Russia maintains a centralized internet blacklist maintained by the government. This list is used for the censorship of individual URLs, domain names, and IP addresses, originally used to block sites that contain materials advocating drug use and drug production. Subsequently amended to allow blocking materials that are classified as extremist by including them to the federal list of extremist materials. According to Freedom House, these regulations have been used frequently abused to block criticism of the federal government or local administration. A law prohibiting abuse of mass freedom implements a process for shutting down online media outlets. We have this article, internet censorship skyrockets in Russia in 2017. This is internet freedom in Russia has continued its downward spiral over the past year with over 115,000 recorded cases of censorship, according to an internet media freedom report published on Monday. The report was published half a year before new anti-terror legislation comes into force, which will greatly expand state powers of surveillance over internet correspondence. Under the Yarovaya law, Russian telecom and internet providers will be forced to store all communication for 3 years. Out of the more than 150,000 cases of internet censorship last year, Agora said 110,000 were related to blocked websites, with an average of 244 web pages blocked per day by the authorities. Every 6 days, an internet user would be subject to threats or physical attack, while courts handed down prison sentences related to internet censorship every 8 days. In the past 10 years, more than 200 cases of violence were recorded against bloggers, activists, and journalists, including 5 murders. Oh, the freedom. Oh, the freedom. We love it, right? How does Red Eyes just not know about this? It's so clear that they're just avoiding this information. They're burying their heads in the sand. I mean, this is, you could do a simple Google search and find all of this stuff, but it's just swept right under the rug. They have an agenda, right?
Sokolovsky не террорист.
Sokolovsky is not a terrorist. They're all saying Russian bloggers with online protests they've just started.
Sokolovsky не террорист.
Ruslan Sokolovsky had ended up in court, convicted of inciting hatred, and given a suspended jail sentence. His crime, mocking the Russian Orthodox Church by posting a video on his YouTube channel, playing the Pokemon Go game inside a church. Now he's been added to a list of what the Russian authorities say are known terrorists. But Sokolovsky isn't alone, and this protest coincides with a report by Human Rights Watch accusing Russia of the biggest crackdown on free speech since the Soviet era.
The only space that is left for free debate in Russia is online. And effectively, starting from 2012, when Vladimir Putin returned to Kremlin, the government began a crackdown on freedom of expression widely.
Research from a Russian think tank says that in 2010, there were 30 so-called extremism convictions of Russian social media users. By 2015, that number had jumped up to 216. And between 2015 and 2017, the number serving prison sentences for online offences rose from 54 to 94. Criticism of Russia's involvement in eastern Ukraine have landed people in jail. And Human Rights Watch says Russia has silenced any dissent over its occupation of Crimea with a clampdown on what it calls extremism. One blogger who criticized Russia for being involved in the Syrian war received a 2.5-year jail sentence. There's a whole raft of legislation that human rights campaigners say restricts free speech on and offline, along with existing censorship. The new legislation includes a law affecting telecommunications and internet companies. They'll have to store all communications for 6 months, and any data relating to those communications will have to be kept for 3 years. Russia's lawmakers insist that their legislation isn't uncommon in a world full of security risks. What do Russians make of all this? Well, they could be forgiven for wondering when and where what they consider to be free speech becomes a criminal offense, punishable by a jail term.
So you can see it's a hell of a lot worse than any Western country. I mean, there are convictions all the time over the slightest social media post criticizing any policy of Putin. So if you go on social media and you say, it was wrong for Putin to go into Ukraine and Syria, you will be thrown in jail. It's just insane. And of course, there's no criticism of this from Red Ice Radio, from the alt-right, from any of these alternative media outlets. There's just no investigation and no criticism. What does this tell you? Let's look at a few more articles here. Russians are getting years in jail for their social media likes. So if you simply click like on a fucking post on social media, jail. Talks about this woman, says a picture, says Anastasia Bubayev shows a screenshot on her computer of a picture of a toothpaste tube with the word "squeeze Russia out of yourself." For sharing this picture on social media with his 12 friends, her husband was sentenced this month to more than 2 years in prison. Says at least 54 people were sent to prison for hate speech last year, most of them for sharing and posting things online, which is almost 5 times as many as 5 years ago. All right, there it is. The overall number of convictions for hate speech in Russia increased to 233 last year from 92 in 2010. That is just leaps and bounds more than any Western country, even countries like Canada and Germany that have hate speech and Holocaust denial laws. You don't see anything like this. The 2002 Russian law defines extremism as activities that aim to undermine the nation's security or constitutional order, glorify terrorism or racism, as well as calling for others to do so. The vagueness of the phrasing and the scope of the offenses that fall under the extremism clause allow for the prosecution of a wide range of people, from those who set up extremist cell or display Nazi symbols, to anyone who writes something online that could be deemed a danger to the state. In the end, it's up to the court to decide whether a social media post poses a danger to the nation or not. In 2014, Putin signed a bill tightening penalties for nonviolent extremist crimes such as hate speech. In July, 3 months after Russia annexed Crimea, he signed a bill making calls to destroy Russia's territorial integrity a criminal offense punishable by 5 years in prison. The amendment makes the denial of Russia's claims on Crimea an even greater offense if the statement is made in the press or online, even on a private social media account. This is the worst tyranny. Many of the shares that led to the recent rash convictions were things critical of Russia's involvement in the Ukraine. Yet you can't disagree with that. Jail. It's just insane. Yeah, I mean, this is widespread. Russian blogger was jailed for simply going to Azerbaijan. He went to Azerbaijan and he was arrested for doing so. You can't even travel to certain countries. I mean, this is like Bolshevism, right? This is the standard tactics of a Bolshevik police state. The memes that might get you jailed in Russia. If you share memes of a nun smoking cigarettes, a 23-year-old was arrested for that meme. They accused her of insulting people by posting satirical memes on her profile page. She's facing up to 6 years in prison of hate speech for offending religious believers' feelings. So if you criticize any religion, whether it's Christianity, Islam, or Judaism, you can get charged in Russia. It's ridiculous. Now, if you go down here, it says extreme capital. Some Russian media have sarcastically dubbed Barnaul the country's extremism capital, but some commentators warn that the cases of Maria, Daniel, and Andrei are part of a national trend. Over the past few years, Russians have been increasingly prosecuted for their activity on social media, according to statistics released by international human rights group Agora. According to Agora, 411 criminal cases were brought against internet users in 2017. This compares to 298 in the previous year. In most cases, users are accused of extremism. It is an offense that may include inciting hatred and animosity, rehabilitation of Nazism, calls to separatism, insulting believers' feelings. The definition of extremism in Russian legislation is so broad, police can take issue with practically anything. This can range from politically incorrect wording of someone's post to online content that humiliates religious or ethnic groups or government officials and even the police. In recent years, Russian law enforcers have found violations of the so-called extremist laws in all kinds of online content, from memes, reposts, and historical photographs to composite images, comments, and even likes for a particular post. So beware, if you simply like a post, you might get a knock on the door. You had this story, head of Moscow's Ukrainian library convicted of incitement against Russians. The head of Russia's only state-run Ukrainian library was convicted on Monday of inciting hatred against Russians in a case that she compared to a Stalin-era political show trial. Mass police arrested her in 2015, confiscating books that the authorities called illegal anti-Russian propaganda. The raid followed Russia's annexation of Crimea and came at a time when pro-Kremlin politicians were regularly calling Ukraine's leaders fascist. She's been given a 4-year suspended prison sentence. This is just absolutely crazy. You can't even have a like, you can't even publish books that have any kind, anything to do with Ukraine. Oh, it's hate speech, it's Russophobia. It's just stating that Ukraine exists and is a unique state and a unique people. is Russophobia. Why? Because they want to erase that history. They want to conquer Ukraine. So anyone in Russia that's saying that it's a state and it has sovereignty and Ukrainians should exist as a state, as their own independent state, well, that's seen as an affront to the Russian Empire. This one, a Russian court sentenced a blogger to 5 years in jail. He was banned from using the internet. He simply posted a series of blogs accusing politicians of corruption and incompetence. He criticized pro-Kremlin separatists in eastern Ukraine and said he did not know why ordinary Russians should go and fight with them. Well, there it is. Yeah, this thing, this meme was banned by the Russian state. So Putin put up like a drag queen. President Putin has gone to great lengths to cultivate an image of authority. It says the Central District Court ruled the number of images, including one depicting the Russian leader wearing lipstick, eyeshadow, and fake lashes, were extremist. Justice Ministry took it a step further and updated its federal list of extremist materials. Offenders face up to 15 days in jail or 3,000 ruble fine. Can't even post pictures, right? But this is the great paradise. Then there was, of course, many, many other cases. I mean, this took me like literally 5 minutes of internet research to find these. This article here says a blogger was charged with inciting hatred for playing Pokemon Go, an activist 2 years in prison for criticizing Russians' involvement in Ukraine. Another one criticized the military involvement in Syria. There was actually a they did the same thing towards this feminist was charged with inciting hatred towards men, and there was another one where a manosphere guy was charged with inciting hatred towards women. So you see, the state is just like preventing anyone from having a position that's not centrist. So like basically they want to enforce this artificial harmony in the country by preventing anyone from saying mean things about each other. Typical of a very fragile empire that has so many fault lines. They have to keep it together by just banning everything. Similar articles that go through the same stuff. I want to look at this. Putin initiates law against anti-Semitism. It says President Putin continues to surprise with his strong stance against anti-Semitism at the initiative. Putin has legislated a law outlawing distorted and or extremist commentary of scriptures. The purpose of the unusual law, as is widely understood, is the prevention of cynical advantage being taken of biblical verses for anti-Semitic purposes. Russian history has been many instances of anti-Semitic elements using the Bible. It says Putin has long been known to oppose anti-Semitism, and violent attacks against Jews in his country have been on the decline. He also conducts warm relations with Israel. He's friends with Beryl Lazar, so the new law is truly important, the fight against Russian anti-Semitism. Lazar said he thanked my friend President Putin, who bodily blocks all anti-Semitic phenomena, and the members of the Duma for proving that Russia respects the beliefs of all citizens. Talking about how Putin's a philo-Semite. Of course, Putin banned Holocaust denial in 2014. It says Russian lawmakers approved a bill that would make Holocaust denial illegal. The lower house of the Russian parliament passed the measure on Friday, making it illegal to deny the verdict of the Nuremberg Tribunal in punishing the rehabilitation of Nazism. Okay, so there's that law, the rehabilitation of Nazism, 2014. This Russian activist jailed for comparing Putin with Hitler. Another Russian activist is jailed for 3 days for reposting an image depicting Putin as a Nazi. So Putin wants to call Ukrainians neo-Nazis and fascists, but if Russians do that to Putin, he puts them in jail. They've gone so far that it says they're trying to confiscate tattoos of swastikas. So if you have a swastika tattoo in Russia, they'll get you to remove it. It says Russian convict swastika tattoos to be confiscated. I mean, this is comical. This is like Stalinist era comedy tyranny. I mean, what's there to really say about this? It's a joke. A court in the central Russian city of Cheboskari has drawn attention for ordering a prisoner to remove Nazi tattoos from his body. They've been declared extremist. So no more swastikas. This Russian man fled to the Czech Republic because he was convicted for saying that the USSR collaborated with the Nazis. Czech authorities have denied asylum to a Russian man convicted for a social media post stating that the Soviet Union collaborated with Nazi Germany and jointly unleashed World War II by attacking Poland. So you can't even point out that Russia invaded Poland in World War II. So not only is there vast censorship on an unprecedented scale in Russia. You've seen the articles for simply questioning Putin's foreign policy will land you in jail, sharing memes and stuff on social media will get you arrested. Simply liking a post will get you arrested. I mean, none of this is criticized by these alt media hacks and people within the alt right. But it's not just getting arrested that's the issue in Russia. You could also be killed, as we've seen so many people, journalists and opposition politicians have been assassinated in Russia. The latest one was this guy called Boris Nemtsov, a longtime opposition politician. This article says, under Putin, investigations of such killings, of which there have been a dozen or more, have tended to be slow and inconclusive. But in the case of Nemtsov, Putin granted the FSB a wide license to go after the killers. Within 3 days, they had several suspects in custody. They arrested five people, all ethnic Chechens, with apparent connections to Ramzan Kadyrov, the colorful and brutal leader of Chechnya. FSB generals had long distrusted Kadyrov, whom Putin allows greater autonomy than any other regional official. Kadyrov is Putin's hand-picked puppet of this Muslim region of Chechnya, of Russia. He is extremely loyal to Putin. This guy goes on social media and puts crosshairs over the opposition politicians and then sends it off to them. He's like constantly threatening Putin's opponents. He's a henchman. Says, according to government investigators, the trigger man was Zaur Dudayev, the former deputy commander of the Sever North Battalion, a Chechen special forces unit that is under the direct authority of Kadyrov. Dudayev confessed to the crime, as did others in custody, but all later recanted their testimony, saying that they had been threatened and subject to torture. The transcripts of their interrogations contain striking details about Nemtsov. They knew the model and license plate of his Range Rover, the address of his apartment, and the location of his office. One suspect, Ansar Gubashev, who was said to be the getaway driver, told investigators that beginning in October 2014, he came to believe that Nemtsov was carrying out a policy against our state, supporting the West, and defaming our government. Gubashev mentioned Russia's standoff with the West over Ukraine. He called Nemtsov an agent of the CIA and Obama. We don't feel the least bit sorry that we took him out, because from the beginning he was a Western prostitute and was causing all sorts of chaos. Nemtsov's family lawyers said evidence points to a man named Ruslan Geremeyev, a high-ranking officer and a severed and close friend of Dudayev. Geremeyev has deep connections to Kadyrov's inner circle. He is the nephew of both Adam Delimkanov, Kadyrov's closest ally and purported enforcer, and another Chechen politician. So pretty unequivocal, these men murdered Nemtsov because he was not supporting Putin's policies, because he was not supporting this war in Ukraine. And he was a thorn in it in Putin's side. So Putin is simply basically delegating these assassinations out to his henchmen in Chechnya, right? Of course, the alt media did not look into that, didn't care to, or just simply ran with the most bizarre and cooped out Russian propaganda to deflect the truth about it. This article here has a pretty big list of people murdered, journalists and opposition politicians, of critics of Putin. 2000, Igor Domnikov, reporter for Novaya Gazeta, was investigating government corruption, died after being severely beaten. 2003, Sergei Yushchenkov, Duma deputy, co-chairman of Liberal Russia Party, gunned down in his apartment. He was serving as the co-chair of the Kovalev Commission, which was investigating the 1999 apartment bombings in Russia and the Kremlin's possible role. 2003, Gazeta reporter investigating high-level corruption in law enforcement, dies what is believed to be poisoning. He was also a member of the Kovalev Commission. Paul Klebnikov, 2004, American editor of Forbes Rush, shot to death investigating organized crime in connections with the Russian government. September 2006, Andrei Kozlov, first deputy chairman of Russia's central bank, who was trying to put a stop to money laundering, was shot dead in a Moscow street. Novaya Gazeta reporter Anna Politkovskaya is one of the more famous cases. Known for her opposition to the Second Chechen War, and Putin gunned down in a stairwell for an apartment. Police eventually arrested and convicted five of participating, but the mastermind was never identified. November 2006, Alexander Litvinenko, former FSB officer and critic of Putin, was poisoned by polonium-210 in London. Two Russians were connected to that, protected by Putin. 2006, Maxim Maskinov, investigative reporter. He was declared dead in 2006 after reported missing. More journalists. You have Sergei Magnitsky, 2009, Russian accountant who was making allegations of large-scale theft of the government. He died after being held and locked up in prison. Just, you know, a huge list. I mean, it's so funny that the alt media, the Kremlin dominated and controlled alt media, they publish like these lists of Hillary Clinton's alleged victims, you know, people who died suspiciously around Clinton, and they're willing to go after that, but then they never look into these assassinations around Putin. They can't, because they're pushing a Putinist agenda. They have to whitewash and cover up anything that would make him look bad, right? So what's going on here with Russia, with Red Ice TV? Are they really just uninformed on this? They really just don't know what's going on here? That censorship is far worse in Russia than it is in definitely is in America. People are not getting arrested and put in jail. They're being deplatformed and such, but there's no real, you know, jail time served by these people in the West. So for them to act like our societies are worse than Russia or China or these other gulags is ridiculous, right? Our societies are not worse. They're obviously far better. We in the alt-right want to make changes, want to pursue a nationalist policy. But then to just exalt these much worse societies as somehow better than ours and whitewash all this stuff going on, just putting out blatant disinformation. I mean, that guy was claiming that there's no censorship, that the whole opposition in Russia just has free hand to criticize Putin. You've seen that not only political opposition is suppressed and shut down, but just normal citizens who are simply memeing shit on the internet are being fined and thrown in jail. Total censorship. Total censorship. Completely covered up by the alt media. And, you know, I don't give a shit. I'm not going to, like, kiss up to Reddit. These people haven't been interested in interviewing me for years. They have on all these Duganists and these screwballs like Jay Dyer, this complete nut bar, who blames absolutely everything on the CIA. If he slips on a banana peel, you know, the CIA did it. Red Ice loves that narrative, that anti-Western narrative. But then they never have anybody on that's critical of this side of it. They had Christopher Bjerknes on one time, and that was it. He was the only one that I've seen that was able to get on Red Ice to talk truthfully about this Russia question. So absolutely they'll never have me on again. I mean, I've been blacklisted by them. It's so obvious, right? They're willing to put these gatekeepers on, these frauds on, these alt-lighters. And Faith Goldie, they love having her on. Ben Shapiro, they even have this guy on. These phony Zionist Jews in the alt media, and the phony conservative movement. So they'll have those people on, but then they can't have me on because I'm critical of Daddy Putin, right? And the Nazbols and these freaks. So what's going on? Spread this video around. Subscribe to my channel. Let's build it up. It's extremely difficult to build up a small channel. If you start from nothing, it's very difficult. If you already have an audience, it's easier. Or if you just catch a viral video and then people can just subscribe to you, and it builds up fairly rapidly once you get that going. But if you don't have any viral videos, go out there. It's very difficult. So people subscribe to me now. Put my link out there. Let's get this info out there. alt-right.com.